when I was in New York, my friends thought I was crazy to give up that job at NBC and come to a place that wasn't even on the air yet. And something just said to me, you'll be able to do something of value there. Just go, you know? So we packed up and came. Same thing happened when I graduated from the seminary, and I had been talking with people about doing a program for the church, and they weren't able to get funding. That was the day before commencement. And the day after commencement, I had a telephone call from the head of children's programming in Canada at the CBC. And he said, I'd like you to do a daily program up here. Well, I didn't know that he wanted me to be on camera. Mm. I thought I'd just be doing puppets and music, as I had here. So when we got up there, he said, Fred, I've seen you talk with children. I'd like you to translate that to them. I said, no. Dr. Rensbier, I've never done that, you know, been on camera. He said, well, let's just give it a try, and we'll call it Mr. Rogers. Well, that was the next step, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If we hadn't gone there and tried that. Then when we came back here, we wanted to raise the boys in this country. I just worked in Christian education for a while, and people then came and asked me if I would do a program here. And so I said, well, why don't we incorporate some of what we did in Canada and expand those programs? And that's how that started. And it just seems like, I don't like to be spooky, you know what I mean? But it just seems like we've somehow been led all along the way. And my feeling about the program itself is that you put on the air the best you know how. And the space between that television screen and the person who is watching and listening in need, that space is holy ground. And what you present can be translated through that space to meet the need of the person who's listening and watching. I've seen it happen over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody's saying to me on a certain day, you said exactly what I needed to hear. Well, you go back and look at the videotape. I ask them, well, what was that? And they tell me, you go back and look, and I didn't say that at all. But that's what they heard when they needed to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that from pastors. At the door, pastors who have used manuscripts. People at the narthex will say, you said exactly what I needed to hear. And they'll say, well, what was that? And such and such. And the person will say, such and such and such. And they go back to the manuscript, and it's not in there at all. So, it's not just the screen to the person in need, it's the person to the person in need. And the space between there is holy ground. The Holy Spirit translates our best efforts into what needs to be communicated to the person in need. The longer I live, the more I know that that's true.
I want to back up a little bit. You said a couple things that piqued my interest. You said, well, first I want to ask you, I'll tell you one of the things I want to back up and talk about quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about your seminary training. I also, you mentioned that you wanted to do a program for the church. And then you also said you had been in Christian education. So I want to kind of follow through and understand those better. But let's first, I want to ask you, the one video that David sent me, it's that 51-minute thing, I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's, you know, just about your life and work with the program. But on that video, it talked about how after college, when you found that or saw the television in your parents' home,
mm-hmm.
you immediately made the decision, this is a medium I want to work through. And you were planning to go to seminary at that point, is that correct?
I had been accepted. It was my senior year in college.
Really?
Yeah.
Which, here in Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh Theological Seminary?
It was called Western Theological Seminary. And during my tenure there, it took me 8 years,
mm-hmm.
you know. I went on my lunch hour to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, it merged with Pitt Xenia mm-hmm. Seminary and became Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, and it was from that merged seminary that I graduated. But I started my courses at Western Theological
okay.
Seminary.
Now, was that at the same time, or did you put it off for a couple of years? I mean, at what point did you decide you were going to do both? It seemed, is this a correct perception that initially you had told your parents that you weren't going to go to seminary, you were going to do the television
thing? That's right, and I went to New York.
Okay.
That's when I went to NBC
okay.
in New York. I applied there right from college, and since I was getting a degree in music, they wanted me at
mm-hmm.
NBC, and they assigned me to many of their music programs.
Oh, okay.
The NBC Opera Theater, the Voice of Firestone, the Kate Smith Hour, all of the Itzio Pinza show, I mean, all of those music programs, they used me well. And I became a network floor manager and was just on the brink of becoming either a producer or a director in commercial television.
When you got the chance to come back?
To educational television that was beginning here.
Is that when you decided to go back to seminary then, on your lunch
Not
hour?
Right away. We were so very busy getting this place on the air, but I think it must have been just about a year later. Well, we could somehow figure it out, because I graduated in 62, and we started on the air in 54. No, I must have. We came here in 53, so it must have been the fall of 54 that I started. So it was very close to when I got back.
And what made you decide to go back to seminary? I mean, it seemed as if you had a good career trajectory without it.
Yeah. I remember in the summer in La Trobe, even before college, both the president and the vice president of Western Seminary used to come to preach when the regular minister was on vacation. And I was very impressed. Dr. Cotton would come every summer, and Dr. Barber later came. And I would always talk with them. And I think it must have been Dr. Barber. And I said, you know, I was going to come to seminary, but I've decided to do this ministry for children and families through television. He said, that's wonderful. And I said, but I still would like very much to know more about the beginnings of our common faith. And he said, well, you're welcome to have to come and take a course at the seminary. And so I went and talked with him and Dr. Cotton and said, well, I would be able to, I'm so busy, I could take maybe only one course. I said, that's fine. You're welcome to do that. I mean, it seemed that people were bending rules all over the place, you know, just because I don't know anybody else who just sort of monitored one class. And so I said, well, if you were going to take a course, what would you take to begin with? And they didn't hesitate. They said, right off the bat, they said, oh, Bill Orr's Systematic Theology. There was no question. So I said, well, fine. You know, I didn't even know what systematic theology was at that moment. Well, they were right. I mean, if anybody would hook you, it would be Dr. Orr.
Is that O-R-R?
Yeah. And from then on, you know, I took anything Dr. Orr offered. I could carry, you know, it could have been underwater basket weaving, I would have taken it. He was a great influence on many of our lives. Not just because he was brilliant, but he's the kind of person who would go out on a winter's day for lunch and come back without his coat, with his overcoat.
Oh, because he gave it away?
Yeah. I mean, he made the study of Greek, well, I studied Greek with him, and then I studied New Testament with him. But little by little, over 8 years, and of course I studied with David Noel Friedman, who Hebrew and Old Testament, and he's the general editor of the whole Anchor Bible, you know. But those were just wonderful days. And if I had to go away, I remember Dr. Walther giving me an assignment one time. I went away in the summer almost 3 weeks. And he gave me an assignment to outline the New Testament.
You're kidding.
I'm not. I mean, but I just had the feeling that these people really cared about you. And that, in the last analysis, is what I would hope that any seminary education would impart. Because if somebody cares about you, it's possible that you'll care about others. And I trust that is the underlying message of the neighborhood. You know, I like you exactly as you are. You are special, and so is your neighbor. And that part is, I think, an essential part. You know, you're not the only special person in the world. The person you happen to be with at the moment is loved, too.